Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money, because whether or not we like it, money matters. So I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today we're going to unpack our relationship with our currency, the South African rand, because I must tell you, I'm not altogether sure that this relationship we have is very healthy. I came across a great article by Michael Kruger. He's a senior investment analyst at Morningstar, and he wrote about how the value of the rand influences our perception of the value of the country. And in this article, he actually writes, "A strong rand, when compared to the US dollar, often makes us feel better about the state of affairs in South Africa. When the value of the rand climbs, so does our optimism about the growth and recovery of the country. While a weak currency fires up all the negative sentiment we read about in the press." And of course, we have no shortage of problems in this country. And I think what Michael has written is so true and quite unique to South Africa. When I speak to my counterparts in other countries, they're quite fascinated by this obsession we have with the rand dollar price and the gold price for that matter. But I don't think we really understand how our currency works and what actually influences it. So I've invited Michael to help me unpack this so that hopefully we can become a little less emotional and more informed about our currency. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you so much, Mike,
for having me.
Thanks. And so, Michael, let's start off with that. Do you think that as South Africans, we are a little bit more obsessed than perhaps we should be about our currency?
I think so, Mike. I think you've highlighted the important aspects of how obsessed South Africans are when it comes to the currency in particular. So I think the main thing from a South African perspective is that we're very patriotic people. The analogy I like to make is that if we watch our sports teams on the weekends, whether it be the Springboks, the Proteas, Bafana Bafana, no matter who it is, we always want them to win. And when we watch them on the weekend and we head into Monday, we feel better about ourselves. When they lose, we feel slightly negative about the world. And it's the same from a currency perspective too. When the rand is weak, we think it's something that we've done. We think it's the economic aspects of the country. You've highlighted all the key aspects of all the challenges that we have in the South African environment. And often when we see the currency depreciate, we think that it's something that we're doing. But I think the important thing from a currency perspective is to keep in mind that a lot of the items that relate to the rand exchange rates are actually global in nature and not just only local.
Absolutely, Michael. And that's what I want to unpack. But maybe as a starting point, let's just actually, you know, the current situation. Everyone thinks that the rand is so weak right now, but actually it's pretty strong. It's just that the dollar is stronger. And maybe give a little bit of context to where we sit with in relative to other currencies at the moment.
Yeah, so that's such an important aspect, is to look at the movements in the US dollar against other currencies at the same time. So if you look at our emerging market peers, the rand has actually held up pretty well against the dollar compared to other emerging market currencies. And the key thing to highlight there is that the dollar has actually been strong against the majority of other currencies, whether it be emerging or developed currencies in particular. And that's got a lot to do with the sort of geopolitical issues that we've seen in the first half of the year in terms of the Russia invasion of Ukraine, and also a lot of volatility in investment markets that have led off that. I think it's also important to keep in mind that the US is currently in an interest rates hiking cycle at the moment in response to sort of rising prices and inflation levels in that particular market. And in that particular situation, what you often find is that money flows back to home base. And the US is regarded as that home base, the safe market in the world. And therefore, a lot of the time, you do see the US dollar sort of appreciating against the majority of other currencies in that particular environment. And I was just having a look at the US dollar index this morning in terms of the performance of that particular index, which actually tracks the performance of the US dollar against the key sort of trading partners of the US. And that's actually at its highest level it's been since 2002. So the US dollar has been very, very strong against the majority of currencies, not only the South African rand.
And I think it was also quite interesting because you did a graph about the other emerging markets currencies, and we're looking really strong relative to that as well. It's a dollar factor. It's not a rand factor.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think in our emerging market peer group, there are a couple of basket cases that are included in those particular currencies.
Fair enough.
So one I would highlight in particular is the Turkish lira, which has been extremely volatile. Currencies like the Argentine peso are obviously very volatile as well. But when you make sort of these broad brush statements about the performance of the currency, I think it's important to compare us against our peer group. and not just look at the South African rand in isolation and look at the performance of that particular currency.
And Michael, do you think we also, you know, you talked, you know, I loved your analogy with, you know, the sport, you know, if the rand's doing well, we must be okay. Like we've got some sort of self-esteem issues around here, but are we too obsessed with having a strong rand? Because a lot of countries actually don't want to have strong currencies because it affects the cost of their exports. They become more expensive. So, you know, is there a balance we should be looking at? Because obviously we also have to import, so there's, we don't want it to be too expensive. Is there kind of a, you know, is there a happy medium between having a too strong and too weak currency?
I think that balance, as you highlight, is very, very important. So I think we would prefer the rand to be stable. And I think given the fact that we have a sort of a high inflation environment and a high interest rate environment in South Africa compared to other developed markets, you are likely to see that sort of depreciating trend in the currency over time. Unfortunately, given the fact that we are one of the more liquid emerging market currencies in the world, that comes with that additional volatility in the currency that we actually see. But the important aspect that you do highlight is that a weaker rand actually does benefit our exporters. So I'm thinking about the commodity producers in particular that have benefited from higher commodity prices. If you have that weaker exchange rates on top of that too, those companies that are exporting into these sort of key markets do get a bump from a revenue perspective. So it's very beneficial for our exporters. But on the opposite side of the coin, we import a lot of oil into South Africa and consumers are paying high petrol prices at the moment. And it obviously impacts their pockets quite significantly because of that. So I think, as you highlight, it's important to have that sort of happy medium between a weak and a strong exchange rate. But unfortunately, given the fact that our currency is quite volatile, we don't see that, unfortunately, in the South African environment.
And I think that volatility is actually worth unpacking a little bit as well, because when I speak to importers and exporters, they said, we don't care what the rand is. We just need to know what the rand's going to be by the end of the year, because we're having to buy forward. It's incredibly expensive to take cover on the rand because of the volatility. I mean, is there anything that we, you know, or is it just the nature of being an emerging market, that that's just something we have to learn to live with?
I think it's just the nature of being an emerging market, unfortunately. And I'm thinking from an investment portfolio perspective, I think the key aspect is to have an element of offshore exposure in your portfolios. I'm thinking in particular from a retirement perspective, they've relaxed the sort of offshore limit that we allowed to take in our retirement portfolios to now 45%. Yeah. But we do have that sort of home bias in our portfolios where a lot of our money is allocated only into SA products in particular, the SA equity market, the SA bond market, et cetera. And I think it's important to have that diversification and to make sure that you do have that offshore exposure in your portfolios to guard against the currency weakness that we may see over an extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I want to actually end off a little bit to talk a little bit in more detail, Michael, because I think that's a key point for investors, is, you know, around investing. That's why I think the rand matters so much to us. But I also came across in your article that you spoke about, and you mentioned at the beginning, that the IMF actually did a research report into what drives the rand dollar exchange. And I think they looked at it since the global crisis in 2007, 2008, and it gave us some really good insights. And I think the point you made is it's not a reflection on us, actually. There's a lot of other things going on in the world that influence the rand values, the value of the rand. So maybe just unpack that for us as well.
Yeah, so the article that you mentioned, or the working paper, was released by the IMF in 2016. And that looked at the key elements that are driving rand volatility since the global financial crisis. And what they found was that the majority of volatility is actually driven by global macroeconomic factors. So in the key markets, including the US and China in particular, I've highlighted the fact that there have been those interest rate increases from the US in response to rising inflation. There's been a lot of geopolitical uncertainty that's been driven by the war in Ukraine in particular. So those sort of key sort of global elements are more important when looking at the movements in the currency, as opposed to only focusing on domestic aspects. Another element that they found was that commodity price volatility is a key driver in terms of the exchange rate too. So I've highlighted the fact that South Africa is a key exporter from a commodity perspective. And when we do have sort of volatility in commodity prices, which we've seen in the last 12 to 24 months, that does have an impact on the currency in particular. And then from a domestic perspective, what they found was that it wasn't actually sort of economic factors or economic surprises that were actually driving the currency. It was actually political uncertainty So the key one there to highlight was in December 2015, when we had something called Nenegate, when we had three finance ministers in the space of a weekend. Mm-hmm. Something like that will cause significant volatility in the exchange rates over that particular period, given the uncertainty that we have in markets due to that.
And I do think that Nenegate was quite specific as well, because it affected National Treasury. It affected the finances of South Africa, that particular. I don't think if we had a Home Affairs minister being fired or coming and going, that would have an influence. So I think we also need to recognize that sometimes it's the pressure that if it revolves around our finances, the Minister of Finance, National Treasury, and from what I gather when I speak to economists and also globally, they're looking and they're saying, you actually have, South Africa has a remarkably well-run National Treasury. I mean, we're not like Turkey, who fires the finance minister because you don't like higher interest rates, or Argentina, I think, who's now made it illegal to quote the official inflation rate. So we actually have a very, respected and well-run National Treasury. And do you think that really plays into our hands?
Absolutely. So key elements of that is our independent central bank in particular. So as you highlighted, Turkey have been cutting interest rates when their inflation is sitting at around about 80%. You want to follow that sort of economic policy and that sort of interest rate policy, where if you do see spiking inflation rates in particular markets, you are increasing interest rates over that period to combat that inflation. And our central bank is actually one of the more well-respected central banks when you look at developed and emerging markets in particular. So not only looking at our peer group, looking across all central banks globally, they are very, very well-respected and they do the right things. A lot of the time it's uncomfortable from a consumer perspective. We don't like increases in interest rates. We don't like paying high interest rates on our debt in particular. But to combat that spiking inflation, it is important that the central bank is credible and doing the right things in that particular environment. And they've done that recently. Obviously, we saw the 75 basis point increase in interest rates that they did last month. And that's the right response to sort of high inflation in particular.
And I think also to understand that relationship, that if you're doing the right things as a central bank, then your currency, it doesn't collapse like it has in Turkey and Argentina, which would just exacerbate all your problems. Your fuel prices would be going up, your inflation would be sky high. So you've got to understand how important those relationships are as well. But let's end off with the big thing, right? Everybody, I think one of the reasons everyone's so obsessed with the rand dollar price is about the offshore. Should I take my money offshore? Is this the right time to take my money offshore? To what extent should you be looking at the rand, and to what extent are there other factors you should be considering when it comes to investing offshore?
So I think a key element of taking money offshore is the fact that you can't time these things. So we often get the question, when the rand is appreciated significantly, is now the time to be taking money offshore, or should I maybe wait until the currency is slightly stronger? I think you're never really going to get the timing of those aspects 100% accurate. But as I've highlighted previously, I think having money offshore invested in global equity and global bond markets is a key element of any investment portfolio in particular. We make up a very, very small portion of the global investment markets and the global economy. And therefore, I think that diversification aspect is very, very important to make sure that you have enough offshore exposure in your portfolios, given the fact that we do have that home bias in our investment portfolios. And therefore, we need diversification from a global perspective. Mm-hmm.
But I think you make such an important point that people always ask this question when the rand's weak, which really Absolutely. Is using rand strength to diversify, not rand weakness. And I think, again, this comes to this unhealthy relationship we have. When the rand's falling, it's going to fall forever and the country's going to the dogs. So there's no, this kind of, I think we it's a fear-based thing. So instead of saying, well, I'm just going to wait for the rand to recover, because guess what? That's what it does. And that's when I'll do my investments offshore. So it is also trying to get people to understand how these things work. And also one thing, Michael, maybe just to end off with, one of the things that I find often is that people, you spoke about the importance of global diversification into global equities, into other companies. The MSCI World Index is 1,600 other companies that you can just invest into. That gives you such great diversification. But I see so many people sitting in cash accounts. They'll sit in a bank account thinking, well, my money's protected. At least it's not in South Africa. At least it's not in rands. But actually, if you look at that interest differential, you'd be probably a lot better just carrying on sitting in rands in cash if you're not going to be investing into equities.
Yeah, absolutely. So cash is a very long-term drag on an investment portfolio. So obviously we're looking to beat inflation when it comes to the way that we're actually investing across key asset classes and key geographies in particular. By just sitting in cash, you're actually going backwards in real terms, which means that you're actually investing your money and you're getting an interest rate that is lower than inflation at the moment. And unfortunately, if you're looking to retire eventually, if you're looking to make enough money, you're not going to be able to just sit in cash and get that return that you actually need to beat inflation and actually be able to live off that money eventually. So I think sitting in cash is definitely not the right answer. If you do see volatility in investment markets over a particular period of time, I think you need to have that diversification across key asset classes and key geographies to make sure that you're beating inflation over the long term. That does come with a bit of volatility along the way, obviously, and sometimes it's a bit uncomfortable. I think particularly if you look in the first two quarters of the year, investment markets have been a little bit all over the place and it's been uncomfortable for investors over that period. But I think you need to focus on the long term and make sure that you're keeping that long term focus and make sure that you're investing for the long term as opposed to just focusing on short term market movements.
Absolutely. And just by the way, listen to our listeners, you know, if you're looking, your South African investments are down, the offshore are down even more. So we even in that regard, we have actually held up pretty well this year so far as a country. But we don't need to take it all personally, right? It is sometimes just the nature of the fact that we're a commodity country, the fact that we're an emerging market. This is the flow of global money. It's how it works. So let's get a little healthier about our relationships with the South African rand. And thank you so much, Michael, for sharing with us a few insights and a little bit of your expertise.
Thank you so much for having me.